Good morning.
Good morning.
What a good God we serve. What do you say? Amen?
Amen.
He's been good to us. Amen. And we want to learn more about Him and draw closer to Him. Today is communion. And communion is communing with God and one another. And so we're going to be studying from the Word of God about this communion. And what does it really mean to commune? To be in fellowship? I believe that God wants us to have that relationship with Him. And we're not going to have a relationship with God unless we have personal communion with God. So I'm going to focus on a certain aspect of our Christian walk and experience and how God would like us to have a walk with Him based upon the Word of God. And I share that because I've been working with the church board and we've been actually trying to see if we can visit everyone in the church here. Actually, both my churches and visiting everyone. So just want to let you know I'm coming around and trying to visit everybody. So not just you, but everybody, and with some board members, and how we can see how we can pray for you and encourage you in your walk with God so you can commune even closer with Jesus. I want to have a closer communion with God. How about you? What do you say? Amen?
Amen.
So today we'll be looking at, I invite you to turn me to John chapter 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. And what does communion look like? And, you know, just as you've been coming over to visit, we're trying to encourage everyone to spend some time with God every day and personal devotions every morning and just trying to encourage one another in that respect. And so John chapter 17, verse 3, let's look at what is eternal life. John 17, verse 3, as we look at communing with God. We're looking at communion service. I'm talking about communion with God and each other. And after I speak, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to break. We have the communion foot washing below there in the lower building. We have couples, we have men, we have women. And then we come back here, and we're going to partake of the bread and the wine or the grape juice up here for communion service. And during the program, we're going to be having a children's program of children's story and some songs with Uncle Pastor Keala here, and we have a program for them also. So that's what we're going to do immediately following this this study from the Word of God. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, help us to see your character of love. Help us to know clearly what you would want us to have to know on these last days. We thank in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're living in a time today where only those who really know God and know Jesus will not be deceived by the deceptions of Satan. Do you see that? And so God has His Word here to protect us. And He wants us to commune with Him so He can not only to be loved by Him, but also by communing or having communication, the same foundational word, communication with God, we can communicate with God, lay our burdens and cares and trust Him, and also He can communicate with us through His Word and the deception that Satan has out there for us so that we would not be deceived in what's going on in this world. Do you want to be deceived? I don't want to be deceived. So let's commune with God and learn what it is, what it means. Turn to John 17, verse 3. What is eternal life? We've gone through this before. I want to recap as we go over this thought today. The Bible says, and this is life eternal, that they might, what is that word? Know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So eternal life is based upon what? Knowing God, right? Just knowing God. Now, it doesn't stop there. So we think, okay, yeah, I know about God, but really knowing who God is and intimacy, as in Genesis says, Adam knew Eve, right? And they conceived a child. So it's actually an intimacy with God, a deep spiritual intimacy with God, that you are very close in your communion with God. I want that intimacy with God. How about you? Amen? So that knowing with God here. And not only that, so Genesis 4:1 says that God wants us to know us in a close and intimate way. So eternal life is knowing God. Now when you know God, what happens? Turn me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It's a little recap here, but let's kind of bring it together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. First John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who? God. Very good. And everyone that loves is what? Two things. Everyone that loves is what? Born of God. And what's the second thing? Knoweth God, right? So knows God. Born of God and loves God. So, in other words, if you are born of God, you will what? Love God, right? And if you know God, you will also what? Love God, right? So, and then it says here, reinstates that thought. It says, he that loveth not, nor not God, for God is what? Love. In other words, if you know God, you will what? Love God, right? So, do you see how to change? I know in John 17, verse 3, just says knowing God is eternal life. But if you truly know who God really is, you will end up what? Loving God. For to know God is to love God. There's a quotation on the back of your bulletin. Let's go there on the back of your program here. I want to read this quotation. I thought it's very, very powerful. It says here, the earth was dark. Talking about the great controversy we're living in this world. The earth was dark through the misapprehension of God. That the gloomy shadows might be lightened, that the world might be brought back to God, Satan's deceptive power was to be broken. How did God destroy Satan's deceptive powers? It says here, this could not be done by force. The exercise of force is contrary to the principles of God's government. What do you say? Amen? Amen. He desires only the service of love, and love cannot be commanded. It cannot be worn by force or authority. Only by love is love what? Awakened. To know God is to what? Didn't we just learn that from the Bible, right? To know God is to love God. Isn't that beautiful? His character must be manifested in contrast to the character of Satan. Let me simplify the great controversy. The great controversy is allegiance over your heart. Who are you going to love and serve? Is it God? Or is it Satan? Is it Satan through his institutions of this earth and what they tell you what is truth, whether it be the government or whether the church or whether people, or whether it be God and what God says is truth as revealed in his word? And that's a great controversy. That's the whole choice. Who do you love and want to serve? Whom you believe in and want to worship is a person you want to serve and give your heart and allegiance to. So the great controversy is, who do you believe? Do you believe Satan and what he uses in institutions of this world? Or is it God, what he says through his word? And do you believe God and what he says about his word? Not only what is truth, but also who he is. For if you really understood that God is love, pervading throughout this whole Bible, you will love God with all of your heart, right? And when you love God, what will happen? Turn to John 14, verse 23. John 14 in your Bibles. John 14, verse 23. So what Satan wants to do is, he wants to paint a false picture of who God is in your mind. So this is not a mere intellectual knowledge that God wants you to have to know God intellectually. That's not what God's talking about here. He's talking about an intimacy in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. An intimacy that goes beyond the hip. Inspiration says it brings from the head to the heart, right? This is not an intellectual knowledge, but to know an intimacy with God that will lead you to love God in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And then not only love God, but notice what happens in John 14, verse 23. The Bible says this. Jesus answered and said unto him, and this is Jesus speaking in red letters, if a man love me, he will what? Keep my words. My Father will love him. So in other words, look, if a man loves me, he will what? Keep my words. His words is where? Right here. His commandments. Everything God says in his word. His Ten Commandments and beyond the Ten Commandments. Everything actually stems from the Ten Commandments in here. So you would keep your word. So do you see that? Not only do we know God, we will love God, but if we love God, we will keep his commandments. Notice it's conditional. It's if, right? Whenever you have that word if in the Bible, it's always conditional. If something happens, then something happens. So, in other words, if you love God, and the only way you're going to love God is that you must what? You must know God, right? So, what happens if you don't know who God is? Can you truly love God if you never know God? Can you really love someone if you never know who that person is? Cannot. What if you know God, but you've been given a false picture of who God is? Can you love God where this goes against a false picture of what God says who he is in his word? Can you really love a God like that? No. So what has happened is Satan has used church institutions and even Christians to paint false pictures of who God really is in their mind so that they would not love God. You see how it is? If you were Satan, what would you do? You'd do the exact same thing he did. He knows that the way to get you is to attack your knowledge of God. Because if your knowledge of God is wrong, how can you love someone who has been painted by Satan as someone who is unlovable? Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Why did my mom die? Why did I get raped when I was a child? Where was God? He is all powerful to stop it, right? Where is God in this picture? When you start believing the lies of Satan, then how can you love a God like that? A false knowledge leads to no love. But a true knowledge of God and that God is love creates a love for you in your heart. And then when you love God, you will keep his commandments. What do you say? Amen? Do you see how obedience falls into that? You don't become obedient first in order to love God, which some people do, right? In order to know God, they go backwards. That's how Satan works in the world. But God wants us to go backwards. Hey, wait a minute. Sometimes we put on these false obedience to make us look like a Christian so I can feel good that, hey, I want to make sure that I'm savable by God, that he will love me and I can go to heaven, right? It's not based upon obedience on the outside. It's based upon the true obedience from the heart that begins with knowing God, then loving God. And if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. God writes his law on your heart and my heart. I want to be obedient to God because I love him. What about you? Amen?
Amen.
That's what God wants. He wants willing servants. Not manipulation and pressure. Not no law in the last days that's going to compel you to even worship him. That's not what God wants. Not any even force or make you feel guilty to serve God or even to give offering. That's not where it's at. What really happens is that God wants your heart. Because he knows when you got your allegiance and your worship of your heart, he has all of you. Like any couple who's in love. Someone's just got married and newlyweds. To watch them, how they love each other. To watch how they look at each other in their eyes. And how they're just filled with love for one another. And how they will do anything for the other person when they're in love. Right? And then what happens is that when they fall out of love, then they start to fight. Right? They start to argue. Things don't go well. And it now becomes a burden to even want to do anything nice for the other person. Right? A lot of marriages are being ruined today, you know, and even in the Christian church, high percentage of divorces. You know, that's just those who get divorces. What about those who stay married and who never get divorced and are not happy? So God wants to, you know, and if you understand the gospel, your marriage relationships will go well. And I've learned from experience that many of the relationships, as I give counseling in marriages and so forth, many of the relationships go bad and people get divorces, people break up in whatever relationships, they don't have good relationship with their children, they don't have good relationship with their parents, and the reason is this, they have a false understanding of the gospel. Because when you have a right understanding of the gospel, it will not only change your walk with God, it will transform and change your walk with everyone else around you. What do you say? Amen? That's the true gospel. It will change you. It will transform you. It will make us new creatures in Christ. It will be like David, creating me a clean heart, a new creation. That's what God wants us. And it will restore all the relationship. I was visiting a two young couples this week. And I was telling them this, look. I was saying, this is God, I was telling them. And they're young. And I said, this is you, and this is your girlfriend. Now, what happens when both of you start coming closer to God? What happens? You get closer together. Do you see that? What do you say? Amen? So in other words, the more you come closer to God, the closer you come in your relationships with one another, right? If you love God, you will love one another. And that's what happens in our walk. And that's why God wants us to have relationship with Him. When we come closer to God, and no, one way even makes it better. Even one side comes, it still makes it closer. But until both sides come, that's when you have a really strong relationship. And the more problems you got, reveals that even though you may be going to the forms of worship and a relationship with God, if you're having problems with any relationships with anyone around you, that is proof that something's wrong with your walk with God. If that's clearly me, say amen. Amen? Something's wrong. Now, we're even told, now we know if you do right, people are going to persecute you. You understand that. But in the long term, you understand that when Paul was counseling the women to say that about her husbands who are converted, Paul says that by your conversation or your lifestyle, you may be able to what? Win your husbands, right? So in other words, we are walking Bibles, are we not, right? The Bible says we are living what? Epistles, known and read by all men. In other words, they cannot even read the Bible, but they can read you, right? Amen? They can read me. And when they see you and me, how we live our lives, that we are revealing the character of Christ in our lives of love to other people, they can read you. And by reading you the Bible according to Keala, Bible according to Marco, right? Bible according to Lloyd. When they see you, the Bible, that book, and they read you, they can be converted without even opening this book. What do you say? Amen? But the problem is, we have to depend upon speakers for people to be converted, because many times people are not becoming the living epistles that God wants us to be. And that's why we have to depend upon speakers or sermons or DVDs or CDs or Bible study materials. But if only we would be living epistles and reveal God's character of love and have Christ's character of love, as an elastic, perfectly reproduced within us. When we have that love within us, that's such a power in the world. But the fact that we have to depend so much upon all these other things is proof that something's missing in our church, right? We need to have that character of love, and that can win the husbands, the Bible says, right? By your lifestyle, how you live. You can win your wife. You can win your children. You can win all those around. They say, well, even Jesus didn't win everyone around them. He did. Judas was not chosen by Jesus. Judas came on his own accord. He wasn't chosen by Jesus. But Jesus allowed him to come. We are able to win all those around us. We're able by God's love, not by you. You and I can win nobody. You know that, right? Amen? I can win nobody. You can win nobody. But if Christ living in you, He can be the light of the world to attract people to Him. I want that. How about you? Amen? You know, I always say that from what my experiences, I don't care what people profess, it's really how they live their lives, right? And you can profess all you want, I can profess all I want, but my question is always, how's our families? How's my family? How's my relationship with my wife? How's my relationship with my daughter? How's my relationship with everyone else around? That is proof of true Christianity. Everything else, I don't care how smart we are or how intellectual we are with our understanding. If our family is right with God, we know that gospel works, right? If it's not working, something's missing. And that's what God needs to change us and my heart. I want to know God, to love Him, to have obedience to God. How about you? What do you say? Amen? Let's have this obedience to God. Okay, let's turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 in your Bibles. And this is kind of what I want to point at. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The Bible says, this is what Jesus did. This is only one text. There are other texts that show the same thing. He did this every morning. And it says here, inspiration says this. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place. And there, what did He do? He prayed. He spent time with His Father. He had communion. That's what we're having today. Communion with His Father. I appreciate what Brother Leroy shared this morning. Perfect. He didn't know what I was speaking on, but it's exactly what A Quiet Place is on. It's a beautiful song here. But this finding out that quiet place, and I actually like that part where it says here, on a mountain tall, new strength and courage there I find. In other words, are you lacking courage this morning? You can spend time with God, and He's going to give you courage for the day. What do you say? Amen? Then from this quiet place, I go to prepare to face a new day with love for all mankind. In other words, from this time alone with God every morning, you've been given power from on high. I call it, you know they have AC, DC? I call it 8C. It's called heavenly current. And you take your plug, you charge into the heavenly current, and you charge up with the spiritual love and power to meet and face a new day. But you cannot face it without God. You need to have God in your life. My challenge is this. Look at this in Mark 1, verse 35. Jesus in the morning. Notice he went out in the morning. Like, you don't want to be wait till you pray at night or read the Bible, because like someone said, if that is the case, you could actually, at the end of the night, you're probably going to spend most of your time confessing to God for all the mistakes you made throughout the day because you didn't spend time in the morning. And that's so too. I think our human nature is such that we need to surrender as soon as we wake up. It says, in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, before the sun came up, he went out, and went out means went out to nature. These are just principles. The more you do, the more power you have. You don't have to do it exactly the same way. But the more you do, the more power you have. Depart into a solitary place by himself, not in group worship, and there he prayed. He spent one-on-one time with communion with God. In other words, that one-on-one time in your personal devotions, whatever you want to call it, morning time, quiet hour, or whatever, me and God time, as some young people call it, you need to spend time alone with God and have communion with God. And when you do that, God's Holy Spirit is going to change your heart. And then you're going to be able to reveal God's love to everyone else all around us. That's what God wants to do with your life. That's what God wants to do in my life. He wants to change your heart. He wants to have a new creation within you to make you a new creature. And every day we need to follow, like the Bible says, to follow his example. Jesus did this every day. We're told in Great Controversy and Inspiration that, you know, Martin Luther, you remember Martin Luther from the Great Reformation? Remember, he went before, he faced the greatest entity of the time, the Holy Roman Empire, and especially the great papacy. And he went in front of all the Holy Roman Empire. And he went by himself. And there he was. And we're told that he was spending 3 hours in prayer every morning as soon as he woke up. Can you imagine? Now, everything dictates differently. You may not be going through some trials. But if you're going through trials, that is surely a good way to spend time. I know it's going to be hard. But there are times when you need to spend maybe 3 hours in the morning in prayer. But if you're not, don't try and do 3 hours. I mean, maybe God may impress you to do it. But I'm asking this. If every single member in this church would just spend some time in the morning, what would happen to this church? I tell you what happened, there'd be revival and reformation in the Honokai Church. What do you say? Amen? Sometime. Look, if you're not spending any time, at least start 5 seconds. Can you at least start with 5 seconds? All you have to do is say, you can time me on this. Lord, as soon as you wake up. Now, I learned this at a call porting program when I was call porting in like Salt Lake City, I did in California, door-to-door selling religious books. And I remember, as soon as we wake up, I see all the young people, like in my early 20s, they'll get up and they roll over on their knees, and that's the first thing they did. Before they went through the bathroom and washed their face or anyway, comb their hair, they roll over their knees as soon as they wake up and they surrender their lives to God. Isn't that beautiful? What do you say? Amen? So the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning, roll over and give our lives to God and surrender it all. And all you have to do is 5 seconds. Just start. If you're not doing anything, start off with 5 seconds. Say, God, I thank you for your love. Please, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you may take my heart and I surrender it totally to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 5-7 seconds. That's all you have to do every morning as soon as you wake up. And as you grow in your walk with God, I mean, you can do, I mean, how long is 5 seconds, right? Can we not do 5 seconds? Amen? So do the 5 seconds. And if you're not there yet, and if you're there already, then move it to a minute. And if you're already doing a minute, then do 2 minutes. And if you're doing 2 minutes, do 5 minutes. And if you're doing 5 minutes, do 10. If you're doing 10, do 15. But in your walk as a child, you grow, right? So everyone is at their own place. Pace, you're a new Christian, that's fine. But let's not be in a church 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years and we're not doing 5 seconds, right? Amen? And like, let's not be a baby. Let's not be, you know, we can be a baby and drink milk, but let's not be, you know, 10, 20, 30 years old, and we're still sucking the breast from our mom, right? And drinking a mother's milk. That's unhealthy. So in the same way as a spiritual Christian, let's grow in our walk. 5 minutes, 10, 15, half an hour. You do half an hour, do 45 minutes. Maybe an hour. If you do it an hour, maybe you feel like you feel called 2 hours, right? Maybe you're going to, you want to go 3 hours, go 3 hours, especially going to two trials. Do this. Try these different principles. God can meet you where you're at. But many times, I believe, if we don't have this communion, we have no power. Now, what if a man came to a woman and said to this woman, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and I want to be with you for all of my rest of my life. What if he says that? And then the girl is so excited, like, wow, he wants to spend the rest of his life with me. And then she goes, great, I'm so excited to hear that. Can tomorrow let's meet for 15 minutes. I want to spend time with you. Tomorrow, can you plan 15 minutes? And then the guy stops, his face drops, and goes, oh, sorry, I can't make it tomorrow. Not tomorrow. And then she's like, that's okay. How about let's meet on Monday? Tomorrow's Sunday, we cannot do it Monday. And so let's go for 15 minutes on Monday. And then he goes, oh, I cannot on Monday either. I got to visit my mom. And she goes, okay, oh, that's okay, Monday. Let's try Tuesday. And then he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I can't go Tuesday because, you know, I got to prepare for my test on Wednesday. And then what if this goes on and on and on? And for a whole year, this whole excuses, he says, I love you, I love you, I love you. But you ask to spend time with this man, and for a whole year, he doesn't spend any time with you at all. Or 2 years, or 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40. Now, how many of you would actually marry this man? Let me see your hands. My question is, how can we say we love God and we want to be with him for all eternity? In heaven, or we're going to go to heaven, and yet we can't even spend 15 minutes with him here on this earth. How can we say we want to spend, we can't even spend 15 minutes here a day on this earth with him, just him and you alone, and we want to spend eternity in heaven with this guy, with God? How can this be? I mean, it doesn't make even any sense. Like, we want to do what we want to do on this earth, but all of a sudden, somehow we're going to sneak into heaven and be with someone where we don't even know who he is. And probably we're going to be so miserable in heaven because our selfish spirit is going to be totally contrary to the unselfishness up there in heaven. It will be a living hell for us seeing all that's going on in heaven. How can we say things we're saying that we love God when we don't even want to be with him on this earth? Can you imagine a church where everyone was actually spend time with God every day? What would happen? Can you imagine what would happen here? There'd be a revival. It's high time we need a revival. What do you say? Amen? Amen. With things going on in this world and what's happening, God needs to change us. And not an intellectual revival, but a true revival of the heart. Not only knowing, but experiencing that knowledge and love in our hearts, that we change in our hearts, that people know we're changed, that our neighbors will know that we're different people, that our children will know that we're different, and they're going to be converted through you and me, that our brothers and sisters are converted through you and me, that our parents are converted. Everyone around us will know, they will know that you have been with Jesus. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for people who not only walk the talk, but who actually walk the talk. People who actually love God with all of their hearts. I really want that in my life. How about you? Amen? Will you make a commitment? How many of you are willing to make that commitment to spend at least some time, even if it's 5 seconds a morning to start off this every morning? How many are willing to make that commitment when you raise your hand with me this morning? Amen? Amen. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to ask you, raise your hand, because I'm thinking of offering classes in the future and maybe sermons, but I want to know what you're thinking. And just raise your hand on what type of classes you think you would like. I'm going to count it up, and Gary's going to mark it down for the different classes. So the first class I want to ask before we close our prayer is, I have about 12 classes, but how many want to know and would take a class, whether it's Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock below in the lower building that I would give or someone else would give, how to reach people for Christ? Let me see your hands, and leave it up. How many of you want to know how to reach people for Christ? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, 7. Okay, 7. Okay, how much want to know how to get Bible studies? Let me see your hands. How many of you want to know how to get Bible studies? Okay, 1. I think we had this. We already had this class before, but okay, 1. How to preach. How many want to know how to preach? I had this class last year, actually. Okay, I just want to throw it out again in case there are new people. How about how to teach Sabbath school? Let me see your hands. Okay, 1. Okay, how about how to use food to heal people? How do you want to know that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Okay, 9. Anyone else? Okay, about 9. How many want to use how to use natural remedies to heal people? Let me see your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. How many want to use how to heal others from emotional wounds from their past? Let me see your hands. 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. Anyone else? Oh, 8. Okay. How to help the poor? My daughter. 2. Okay. 3. Okay. Okay. Understanding the cult. Actually, we did this class already. Understanding the culture of Hawaii. Did anyone else miss that class who would like to see it again? Understanding the culture of Hawaii to reach the people. I see you, Jersey. Okay. 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 Now this one. How to raise godly children. Let me see your hand. How to raise godly children. 1, 2, 3. I don't know if they count the children or not, but they like raising their hand. 3, though. How to have godly marriages? Let me see your hand. How to have godly marriages? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. And how about, now this could be only not only for you, but also for people who you know needs help, right? How about how to have godly dating? Let me see your hands. Anybody interested in dating? Not too many young people here, but okay. So I just want to throw these thoughts out here on what is it that we're going to look at in the future. So I know we wrote it all down, and I want us to think about these things, and we'll have these classes also in the future. So God wants us to have devotions and spend time with Him. And so as we break off for communion at this time, think about your commitment and desire to commune with God as we break. And with that, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. May it help us to have time spent with you and to love you and to get to know you, that we may love you and thus serve you and be obedient to you with all of our hearts. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.